Time to welcome in the pair. Once again, Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can always find them on the web at tqag.com. Good morning, guys.
Well, good morning.
In unison, that was the first one of the first time that's ever happened. Well, good morning, and we have a nice crisp morning here this morning, but nice weather, and things have been calm here for a while. Tim, good to have you back. You were on your way to work the last week when
traveling. I was on the road, so in an undisclosed location doing an appraisal.
You know, one thing since over the past month and a half, since I've been looking for news, things to quote about and talk to you about auctions and appraisals, is I've noticed is, and this is something I never really realized, when you take a look at how many auctions are scheduled throughout this country on a monthly basis, this is an incredible, it's almost like looking at a Major League Baseball schedule. I mean, I can't believe the number of auctions that are out there.
And those are the ones that are just being advertised. You just see that are in the larger advertisement. When you go local and you get into the, you know, into the different regions, you'll see that there's even more smaller auction houses that are just advertising locally. So it is. It's a big business, and people don't realize how big the reach and really the growth that the internet has really added to the number of not only sellers but buyers.
I was going to say this is kind of like bird watchers. You know, everybody jokes about bird watching. You know how many bird watch around this country? And it's the same thing now with auctions. I mean, I think people tend to think that maybe 10% of the people go to auctions and they think about like auction houses. But man, there has to be, I would figure, at least 35 to 40% of the American population and are involved in this, because you just wouldn't have this many auctions unless a lot of different people were interested in it.
Correct. And I think what it does, it's really just feeding the masses, you know, whatever it is that it's a commerce, and it's a whole different market than you have to research. You have to, you know, look for those items that you're interested in, find different auctions that or auctioneers that specialize or offer those kind of things. So there's a little bit. There's something for everyone when it comes to auction.
And now I see, when I see how many auctions are out there, and you don't, and if you're somebody who's not privy to this, this is why there's so many protections put out by the different organizations that you are associated with. So you don't, people know that it's a real auction. I guess mixed in with a lot of this, there's a lot of other auctions that are totally unreliable.
Yeah, I was thinking about the previous conversation and how 10 years ago, when we would be talking about this, you would not see very many auctions online because they were just starting to come out. And now it's just exploded. And of course, with all of this explosion, there are those auction houses who, just like any other auction house that is not online, there are those who are better than others, and some who really should not be selling online. But overall, I think that the interest in online auctions has really far outweighed the disinterest and the distrust, because at the very beginning, when we were talking about this, when people were starting to sell art online, everybody said, no, there's no way this is going to happen. And now it's just become mainstream. It's become an everyday occurrence. And now the problem exists that you have to, well, it's not a problem. It's let's just say it's a bidder beware. You have to really research the online companies that you are going to be bidding for, because there are those and we've talked about this in the past, where it looks like they might have a big business or an online auction company, and it could be two people sitting in a room bidding against people who are bidding and just to drive the prices up. So you really have to know what you're looking at, do the research, do the homework, make sure that you are you've contacted the auction companies to see what their reputation is, and make sure that you don't get taken, because it happens. It does happen.
Well, you know, it's funny. We sit here, and I think most people think of car auctions, fine art auctions, and stuff like that. But I'm looking at the list. There's a U.S. coin auction this week, a currency auction, a world paper money auction, video game auction. I mean... Really? Well, I guess everything goes up for auction at one time or another.
Well, we've said this. How many times have you heard us say, Marshall, it never ceases to amaze us what people will bid on? And that's just it. That's just human nature. People are interested. That's why there are so many. But the thing about the online presence, it, just like anything else, cream rises to the top, and auction houses are no different. And those that survive and make it online have an online presence that is indisputable. I mean, everything is very transparent. So those are the things that you have to look for, and more online auctions are becoming they're just becoming so mainstream that people don't even think about it anymore. So I just remember, there again, you know, when we first started doing this show, and one of the questions came up, well, you know, how do I know what it looks like? How do I know it's not broken? Well, you can now request digital photographs that are three-dimensional, and you can have them go around the entire piece, or you can still do the old-fashioned way and just pick up the phone and call for a condition report. So things have changed so much for the better. And there again, not to be a Debbie Downer here, but even as things change for the better, there are always those that you have to beware of. And that's, I think, becoming more the mantra of online auctions, is just beware, bid with confidence with a company that you have put your trust in.
Okay, so now I'll scare people again. The 2000 Playoff Contenders Championship ticket to Tom Brady, a rookie card, sold for $1.59 million.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing such an amazing number of items selling for over $1 million in the sports arena. It's even over 50,000, some of these trading cards. And I don't know if it's the pandemic or people just saw an opportunity or said, hey, I'm going to put my money into something and I'm going to collect these cards. But it's really driving the prices up.
Well, that went for more even than the Jordan, the jersey. And it's not just sports. It's not just sports.
No. Right.
I think art is the same way. I mean, maybe, but the pandemic has affected people in a way that they don't realize what they're spending.
But I think what I was meaning to say was that I think we're seeing more and more happening in the collectibles and a variety of different areas. Art always has had that, and it continues to grow in different ways. But I think we're seeing other markets experiencing this type of growth that they haven't seen in a while.
Well, how about the Saturday Evening Post cover that sold for $4.1 million at Heritage?
right.
That's a magazine cover. It's a magazine cover. It's not even an original piece of art.
Well, I will say that I do think one of the things that has come out of this pandemic is people who were not aware of auctions to begin with, that have been stuck at home, have decided, as they're surfing through their computers, they've run across articles or something that has a live link to an auction house for an upcoming auction, and they click on it, and that's how they get hooked. And it's really not like it used to be where there was nobody even knew what an online auction was. Now you for the most part, most people understand how online auctions work, and the fact that you can sit at home in your underwear with a cup of coffee and no one can see you, and you can spend millions of dollars, it's just a bonus.
Now,
what can I say?
Let me ask you this, and Tim, and when the auction happens and the people buy the product, A, do people on the phone that are accepting auctions get a percentage of it, or are people the only one, or are they just paid an annual pay? Who makes money off of in a commission in an auction, and who just gets paid a regular salary in an auction house? Does the auction house the one make? They make all the money, and then they just pay their employees.
Right.
Well, yeah. So the way the structure works is, something sells for $1 million, round number. And the auction house, the hammer price is $1 million. Well, the auction company also has a buyer's premium that goes on to that. And then the seller pays a premium as well. But then out of the proceeds from, after all of that is done, that's what the auction house, that's how they have their operating funds. So if you have a good auction, you can be set for a little while with salaries and administrative stuff.
I was just always wondering, though, like when you see these car auctions, when the men and women that are out there that are getting the bids, and they're aggressively working to get the bids, I wonder if they get bonuses and stuff like that.
Well, that's a different thing, because the ring men, they have a different setup, but
okay.
They're very similar to just like auctioneers, individuals. Like when I was auctioneering as a contract auctioneer for Julian's, I had a flat fee. That was it. It wasn't a percentage, because then you could be accused of running bids up just in order to make more money for yourself and not the auction house. So it's there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes.
This is where there's a fine line, because we'll take Christie's and Sotheby's, the two juggernauts in this industry that people recognize. You'd think, okay, well, not only are they selling it, but they're providing the auctioneer. So what's to say that the auctioneer isn't raising, bidding things up because they're getting a portion of it? Well, they don't. The auctioneer who works for them, it's a separate entity, and they have a salary just like any other employee. So that's the one thing. So, and the other thing is, when you're when you do take a percentage, that's really a conflict of interest. And I know there are some people who, I know for charity auctions, for example, there are certain charity auctioneers who their fee is based on how much the fundraiser brings in. So if you're doing an auction for a fundraiser, and let's say they raise $100,000, and your fee could be based on a percentage of that. So that's a different thing.
Varies. It depends.
It
on
varies.
It depends on
but
the
for regular auction. Not so much. You don't
Go
usually
ahead.
Have a percentage, because that's a conflict.
Well, there's just so much behind it that I think people don't realize. I just can't imagine how much money must how the
change hands.
How much money change? That's and you know what? It's good for the economy. That's as absurd as some of these amounts sound. It has to be good for the economy in one way or the other.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is. And I just wanted to make a little correction on that Saturday Evening Post cover. That was an original oil on canvas that sold for $4.1 million. It wasn't just the I don't want people to get the wrong impression that they're going to go searching for the Saturday Evening Post covers now.
It was
an original painting.
I'm gonna break into somebody's house and look for magazines. That's right. Okay, well then actually if it's an actual painting then that's probably a bargain. If it's an actual painting, it's probably,
well, for an illustrator though, it was J.C. Leyendecker was the illustrator, and that actually is the record for an illustrator that so it broke the previous record. I don't know what the previous record was, but at $4.12 million was a record for an influential illustrator, because that's what he was known for more, as you know, for the illustration art, not as just a painter. So,
you know, well, you folks are learning along with me here in the morning. All right, guys, have a great weekend. I'll speak to you next week.
Hey, Marshall. You too.
Have a
great week. Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, not only the appraisal guys, the answer guys, but the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. You can find them at tqag.com on the web.